Building a Great Marriage.
सफल विवाह को निर्माण.
By Paul Bucknell, translated from English into Nepali.
अंग्रेजीबाट नेपालीमा उल्टा गरिएको.
Helping you step by step to gain that great marriage.
सफल विवाह हासिल गर्न सहायता गर्ने चरणबद्ध तरिकाहरू.
Session 7, replacing marital bitterness with forgiveness.
Session 7, क्षमादानद्वारा वैवाहिक तितोपना प्रतिस्थापित हुनु.
It's always wonderful to hear how God's working. That's what we've been saying, is that God's work is wants us to have successful, wonderful marriages. We're going to go on to the last section of the last message of the second section. So session 7 is called Replace Bitterness with Forgiveness. And I hope by this session we'll be able to look a little bit more at how to get rid of all of that hostility that we might have left in our marriages. Remember, I was talking about that sandwich where there's a husband and a wife, but there's a half of apology in the middle. And what I was trying to say, and I want to follow up, is that what you leave in that middle, that half apology, is not an apology. And that pollutes, stains, ruins our marriages. And I want to lead you through a process of how you get rid of that bitterness, long-standing unforgiveness. And have the freedom of forgiveness and love. Maybe you can think of something in your heart right now. You talk to the Lord as we speak. Because this is a wonderful step of liberty. And to be honest, if God heals your marriages, He might use you to help another couple. And you almost always have to go through this focus on forgiveness. Have you totally forgiven your spouse? Or mostly? Maybe by now you say, I'm mostly forgiven. But can you think of one or two things you say, I'll never forgive him or her? God wants you to take those and forgive. That's where you're going to see a wonderful power of love. Let me pray as I continue. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who has died for us. And as you have forgiven us, we pray that we would forgive one another. We never deserve forgiveness. But you still die for us. and loved us and accepted us. And so may we have that same heart as Christ. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so how do we know there's something still between me and my wife, or wife and husband? Let me describe some things. Now, this is maybe a little more American, maybe not. So you can tell me if it's also true here. Or maybe there's other ways you can also tell us. When you have something a little against your spouse, often you have little physical symptoms. Okay, so one, in America we roll our eyes, we go... Do you do that here? No? Yeah? Yeah, okay, we still do that. Another one is you ignore simple requests. You pretend that if the other person never said anything. Or you get easily irritated. Or you call the other person a name, something a little bad, you joke evil about them. Maybe you criticize the spouse's efforts. And you just don't. You're not grateful. You don't notice when they do nice things. And you just feel like you don't want to be close to them. You know, there's ways to see that actually we don't have intimacy. There's a separation there. And all of those things and other things will show that we have a bitterness in our lives. And the bitterness reflects unforgiving. Now, Ephesians 4:31 lists a lot of items. Okay, I'll just read them. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Notice that it doesn't give room to have any of it. There's no room for any of these. The beginning of verse 31 says, let all bitterness, all wrath be put away. So sometimes, but we make excuses for some. And that little bitterness will steal your fellowship with God away. So in this message, I want to talk a little bit about understanding that root of bitterness. The principles for overcoming this bitterness. And how it applies to marriage. So first of all, think of a big tree with branches. Now it calls bitterness as a root of a tree. Now when you have bitterness as a root, then out from your branches you have clamor, wrath, anger, all those things. And so clamor is when we make loud evil noises toward each other, yell at each other. Wrath is when you have a meanful motive. Anger has a burst out in words and action. Now we're Christians, so we know that these things are no good. And so what we try to do is cut off the branches. So when we cut off the branch of anger, I'm going to not be angry anymore. I know I shouldn't yell, but I'll try stopping. But God doesn't say try. He says put it away. It's not easy to put away these things is because of the root of bitterness. So if you have a tree and you cut off the branches, the tree will just produce more branches. That's that long, ongoing, hostile war. If you want to get rid of that anger, you got to get rid of that bitterness. So let me go and share how, why this root is so hard to get out. I remember helping my dad once trying to get rid of a root of a big tree. It's so hard because the roots are like this. How do you get rid of those when they're under the ground? Let me share with you why bitterness is so hard to get rid of. So let me explain what bitterness is, the cycle of bitterness. It starts with the offense. Somebody says or does something against us. And you feel bad that someone did that to you. And you keep in your mind, you have a sense of self-pity. He shouldn't have said that. Remember those areas of conflict we mentioned earlier? Maybe one of those offenses. And so what's happening when you keep that in your mind? Satan comes by and gives you inspiration to think about evil. How am I going to get back? He or she don't deserve any good, right? So you set your heart on being evil, malice toward that But then we know it's not good to have evil in our hearts, so we have guilt. But God gives a sense of false justice to us. We believe when they did evil to us, they should be paid back. So even though you think of evil and getting back with them, and you feel guilty, you think you're doing something right. And you think you're doing God a service when you try to get back at somebody. And that will bring you back to the beginning of the cycle where you again start thinking, oh, poor me, he or she did this to me. I believe that though we don't allow the Spirit to convict us, often because we cover it up with a sense of vengeance and justice. And Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You see what happens here. You come short of the grace of God. There's a root of bitterness in you. And the result, it springs up all sorts of trouble. So what is the mark of bitterness? It's when you don't have the grace of God in your life. What's the difference if you're bitter and you're joyful? Bitterness, your face is stern. But when God's grace fills you, you feel abounding in love and joy. It's the opposite. Bitterness, grace. Grace says God gives you all you need. Bitterness, you feel like you're missing out. You know, if you have bitterness in your heart, God's not going to hear your prayer. Remember Matthew 6:14-15? If you forgive men of their transgression, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, or your husband or wife, your father will not forgive you. So you're walking around with your sin on you, your burden on you. That's why bitterness is like roots in a tree, permanent. And they're so hard to pull out. Now, if it's a very new tree, or new branch, new plant, you can just pull it out. But let it stay there. Even when it's this tall, it begins to be hard to pull out. When I get home, I'm going to have to hurry up and plant some of my garden because the tree next door drops its seeds. It says the root of bitterness causes trouble. It steals life from you. I'm trying to convince you, do away with all your bitterness. I'm trying to convince them. You will not prosper if you don't forgive. And you might blame someone else, but really you're holding on to the bitterness. And that bitterness, it says, many will be defiled, it will spread. Affects your spouse, affects your children, affects your ministry. Okay, so let's think about some principles to overcome bitterness. First of all, Jesus said that we forgive liberally. And so sometimes we make a difference and we say, well, I'll forgive him for this, or I won't forgive him for that. Or I'll forgive him for the first two times, but not after that. Peter asked that question, do you remember? Matthew 18:21. How many times should I forgive my brother? How about seven times? Is that good? He thought he was being really good. But Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. In other words, unlimited. We think that if we don't forgive, then we can pay back somebody. But this is wrong thinking. So number two principle, never take revenge. Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. It says that several places in the New Testament. You see, when we forgive someone, it doesn't mean that they haven't done wrong. Sometimes they've done horrible wrong. But doesn't God say, that's my job, not yours? Third principle, put on kindness, love, and forgiveness. And that's what Colossians 3:12-13 says. It's the image of putting clothes on. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility.
Colossians 3:12-13.
Okay,
तिमीहरूले करुणा दया दीनता धैर्य र नम्रता र धैर्य धारण गर, एउटाले अर्कालाई सहने गर, कुनै मानिसको विरुद्धमा केही दोषको कारण छ भने एउटा एक अर्कालाई क्षमा गर्ने गर, जसरी प्रभुले तिमीहरूलाई क्षमा गर्नुभएको छ त्यसरी तिमीहरूले पनि क्षमा गर्नुपर्छ।
क्रिस्चियन
भएको हिसाबले, विश्वास गरेको हिसाबले कस्तो प्रकारको स्वभाव धारण गर्नुपर्छ?
Now Satan comes in a special way with this fourth one.
अनि चौथो गुलामा पनि यस्तै प्रकारको कुरा छ।
He tries to make us think that if my husband or wife does something like that, then I won't forgive. Everything else, but not that one thing.
यदि मेरो श्रीमान अथवा श्रीमतीले सबै जे जे गरे पनि क्षमा गर्ने, तर कुनै यो कुरा एउटा यस्तो गर्यो भने क्षमा नदिने भन्ने कुरा हामीमा आउन सक्छ।
But you make no exceptions for extra difficult times.
तर गाह्रो समयको निम्ति यसमा कुनै पनि सम्झौता छैन र कुनै पनि त्यस्तो प्रकारको व्यवहार गर्नु।
So in a sense, you need to say in your heart as a husband, I'll forgive my wife of everything.
श्रीमान भएको हिसाबले म मेरो श्रीमतीलाई सबै कुराहरू प्रति क्षमा दिन्छु भनौला।
And your wife, I'm going to forgive my husband of everything.
अनि मेरो श्रीमानलाई पनि म सबै कुराहरू प्रति क्षमा दिन्छु भन्छु होला।
Again, we're not saying that the husband or the wife was right. No, we're not saying that. But I don't want to act as God. I'm not going to take vengeance. So Paul says this in Romans 12:20-21. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
बरु तिम्रो शत्रु भोकाएको छ भने त्यसलाई खुवाऊ, तिर्खाएको छ भने त्यसलाई पानी देऊ। त्यसो गर्नाले तिमीले त्यसको टाउकोमा आगोको भुङ्रो थुपार्नेछौ। खराबीबाट पराजित नहो, तर खराबीलाई हराइदिन्छु त।
So those are four principles, but I want to follow it up with one question here.
यो चारवटा सिद्धान्तहरू हो, यसमा विजय पाउने तितोपनाको अवस्थाबाट विजय पाउनको निम्ति, र यहाँ अर्को एउटा कुरा म भन्न चाहन्छु।
How can I forgive my spouse who has not asked for forgiveness?
यदि मेरो श्रीमान अथवा श्रीमतीले क्षमा मागेकै छैन भने मैले कसरी क्षमा दिने?
Maybe you're still waiting for the husband or wife to feel sorry for what they did and ask for
forgiveness.
From the scriptures we just read, though, it tells us to take the initiative and forgive.
बाइबलबाट हामीले जति पदहरू पढ्यौँ, खण्डहरू पढ्यौँ, यहाँबाट हामीले यो कुरा सिकेका छौँ कि हामीले यो क्षमा दिनको निम्ति आफ्नो अगाडि अग्रसर हुने हो, अगाडि सर्ने हो र क्षमा दिने काम सुरु गर्ने
हो। So we are taking that initiative. We will forgive.
हामी आफू क्षमा दिने मान्छे चाहिँ अगाडि बढेर क्षमा दिने हो।
People should ask for forgiveness, but even if they don't, we still in our hearts forgive.
मानिसहरूले क्षमा माग्नु पर्ने हो, तर यदि उनीहरूले माग्दैनन् भने पनि हामीले क्षमा दिनुपर्छ। हामी पहिला नै त्यसको निम्ति अगाडि हुनुपर्छ।
In order to get rid of bitterness, we need to do several things.
यो तितोपनाको बारेमा हामीले केही अरू कुराहरू पनि गर्नुपर्छ, योबाट छुटकारा पाउने निस्कनको बारेमा।
I think one of the things you do is find out what you might have done wrong.
के कुरा गलती गरिएको त्यो थाहा गर्नुपर्छ।
If there's something wrong between you and your spouse, it says in Ephesians to resolve it before you go to sleep.
एफिसीको पुस्तकमा भनेको छ यदि तिमीहरूको बिचमा केही अमेरिका कुराहरू छ, केही त्यहाँ तितोपनाको कुरा छ, समस्या छ, बिग्रेको कुरा छ भने ओछ्यानमा जानुभन्दा अगाडि नै यसलाई समाधान गर्नु।
That's why the first point I said, find out what you've done wrong. Ask your spouse things that you failed in. Ask your spouse what three areas you might have failed in. Sometimes we do wrong and we don't even realize it. Sometimes I'm going to sleep and I see my wife a little disturbed.
निराश भएको, निराश थाकेको जस्तो देख्छ।
So one of the first things I see is this something I did today?
मैले केही गरेर त्यस्तो भयो कि भन्ने सोच्नु पर्ने हो कि?
Because it says, resolve it before you go to sleep. So I want to make sure it's not me. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But if it's for me, then I want to work it through. Sometimes we have our discussion afterwards. Well, actually, sometimes, even if it's not me, we still talk an hour about it. I'm just trying to help her. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and yet do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity.
क्रोध गर तर पाप नगर घामस्थल अघि नै तिमीहरूको रिस मरोस् शैतानलाई मौका नदेऊ.
So I look at it like this. If you go to sleep with anger or bitterness on your heart,
यदि तपाईँ आफ्नो मनमा तितोपन रिसहरू बोकेर सुत्न जानुहुन्छ भने
maybe it's giving you 6 to 8 hours to have that seed in the ground where it can start forming roots.
अनि त्यसले चाहिँ त्यो तितोपनको कुराहरू बाँकी छ त्यसले चाहिँ 6 देखि 8 घन्टा जति चाहिँ.
And then it becomes underneath your surface. So resolve it, work through it. I think we always need to be quick to forgive. Love covers a multitude of sins. And what that means is, we are generous with forgiving. Now, again, some of you have not been brought up in a home where your parents are generous with forgiving. I remember in Nairobi when I was talking, this big gentleman stands up. In Kenya, I was speaking, and this big man stands up. And he says, "We men don't say sorry." Your part of your culture is men never apologize. We are to forgive as God has forgiven us. The fourth thing is to gently confront someone. So on the one hand, you can forgive things and not bring it up. If it's a small thing, just bring it up. I mean, forgive and let it go. But if your spouse is regularly irritating you with something, I would suggest talk about it at a calm time. Because there's something you do that really troubles me. Hopefully your spouse is responsive and says, "Oh really? What is it?" Sometimes they're not so responsive. So we need to be extra gentle. For example, sometimes I say things and to my wife it sounds hard. And sometimes she says things I think is hard too. And so maybe to my wife I would say, "Could you say that in a different way, a nicer way?" Or I asked my wife, I said, how could I have said it better? I try to get ideas from her. Because sometimes I don't see the wrong. It's not very evident. But when she says it her certain way, it makes sense. I can see the difference. But you can see we're discussing things. We have a good relationship where we can talk about these things. Now, in the end, though, you have to confess and forgive. Number one, always forgive your spouse. Okay, can you right now say, I will always forgive my spouse? Okay, together, will you say it and then repeat? See, that's who you're going to be. I'm always going to forgive. And you can add words. You can say, I'll be quick to forgive. Or you can remind your motive, remind your motivation. I want to be like Jesus and forgive. But you have to catch up. Number two, you have to catch up on past offenses. So you want to get a piece of paper and start writing the things that you might be bitter against people. Sometimes you'll be able to associate it with some past event, sometimes you won't. And before God, to say, go through the list, be thorough. And maybe it's me, but I like to be very thorough. I'll tell you what. I like to be thorough, complete. If I do it right the first time and get them all, then I don't have to do it again. I don't know if it's like because I'm a guy or what, but I don't like apologizing. I don't know if it's because I'm a guy, but I don't like apologizing. And if I think of like five things on the list that I've been bitter toward my wife, I first with God, I say, God, look at the things I've been doing. This has caused me to withhold love to her. And so you ask forgiveness from God. But then you have to find a time with your wife and apologize. I would have that list in front of me and make sure I get every one of them. So what you're doing is getting rid of all that stuff between you and her. And so, whether it's the wife or the husband, you list, you ask for forgiveness. I always also add to that, I should have been like this.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to have a table, like if a place where you start to get angry, you husband and wife don't get angry, they just prearrange, go to that table and talk. If you're still angry, you can just write down the problem. But the point is, you see, you're trying to get rid of all that. And when you get rid of this, that's the end. You have that oneness. I want you really to forgive. Be liberal in your forgiving. I want you to enjoy just being able to sit down and talk with each other. But as long as you have a bitter root, it's going to spring up with anger, malice, hostility. You might ask, well, what if I do it but my spouse doesn't? That's still fine. You're obeying the Lord. Remember, you can't clap with just one hand. But you're bringing God's love into your marriage. Brothers and sisters, is there a bitter root in your heart? God doesn't want it there. You might have bitterness even from when you were a child, before you met your spouse. Maybe you never can forgive your father. But that bitterness will cut back on your spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, forgive. Forgive abundantly. Can we all stand as I close in prayer? Let's pray. Oh Lord, mighty God. We thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us. Lord, forgive us, though, for being so slow to forgive others. We ask that you would search our hearts right now. That you bring to our mind any root of bitterness. We ask right now in the name of Jesus, take away that root of bitterness. We've been holding grudges and being vengeful against our spouses. We've been holding kindness, withholding goodness from them. Oh Lord, please forgive us. Please let us take this final step to reach that one spirit, one heart, one mind. Comfort us, Lord. I know some have been hurt very deeply. We acknowledge that difficult. That pain. That loneliness. Come and heal that. But Lord, just the same, get rid of that root of bitterness. Help us, Lord. Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Building a great marriage.
Safal vivaha ko nirman.
Translated from English into Nepali.
Angreji bata Nepali ma ultha gariyeko.
Session 7. Replacing marital bitterness with forgiveness.
Session 7. Chhamadan dwara vaivahik titopana pratisthapit hunu.
By Paul Bucknell. Biblical foundations for freedom.
Swatantrata ko lagi Biblia jag.
Releasing God's truth to a new generation.
Parmeshwar ko satyata naya pusta samma puryaunu.